Let's have another short Bible reading before we sing a hymn before the message. It's in the book of the Hebrews in chapter 8, please. The book of the Hebrews in chapter 8, from verses 8 to 12. The book of the Hebrews, chapter 8, and verses 8 to 12 for our New Testament lesson. But God found fault with the people and said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." We all have a memory. Memories. Some of our memories are better than others. And as we grow older, we generally have a less good memory, and we need the assistance of others around us to remind us of certain things at certain time. When I was retiring early from work a couple of years back, I saw a little retirement card, and it showed two gentlemen on the retirement card, and they had just retired, and they had gone out to play golf. And one had just struck his tee shot off down the fairway. And he turns to the other and he says, "My eyesight's starting to fail now, I'm a bit older. Did you see where my ball went?" And the other replies, "I did, but I can't remember now." So that wasn't much help in terms of memory. But I want to talk more seriously this morning, because I don't want to talk about memory. I want to talk about something that I feel is altogether stronger than memory, and it's the word remembrance. Now, I know they're of the same root and they're of the same function of the mind, where we try to remember or we have a memory of certain things or certain events or certain places or certain ones. But I believe that remembrance is something much stronger, much greater, much more powerful than simple memory. And that's what I want us to turn our minds to together this morning on Remembrance Day, known by that very name, Remembrance Sunday. And I want us to dwell on the theme of what I'm calling in this message this morning, active remembrance. We've had our act of remembrance, but I want us all this morning, from God's word, to think together about active remembrance. Heard in the news just last night, I confess I had forgotten the actual date, but I was reminded in the news last night that this day to the day 1 year ago was the terrible attacks by terrorists in France. And that hit our news headlines as an awful shock, an absolute horror. So that is being remembered last evening and today in Paris, where those terrible attacks took place. Now, we heard about them, we knew about them, we saw them in our news, and we were horrified like anyone else. But they recede from our memories, because we were not directly involved. It wasn't even in our own country, and horrific as it was and deserving of remembrance as it is, it slips from our conscious active remembrance because it's not so immediately meaningful to us. 29 years ago this day was the day of the Enniskillen bombing on Remembrance Sunday. Now, that sticks in our memories the more, because it happened here in our own wee province, another horrific terrorist event, and one that is remembered year on year, the Enniskillen bombing. But it stays in my memory, it stays in our family memory even more. We remember it more actively, because 29 years ago, this very day, our eldest daughter, Julie, had her infant baptism here in this congregation. And Jane and I brought her round. It just happened to be Remembrance Day. It was the morning of Julie's infant baptism. We came into the service. She was had her infant baptism that Sunday morning. We exited the service to the news of the Enniskillen bombing. So it stays in the family memory, that bit extra. It had an extra sense of importance and meaning to us because it happened on a particular day that meant something in our family, as well as the awful events in Enniskillen. And of course, quite rightly this year, we've had the anniversary of the Battle of the Somme, Somme 100. And here in our own land, the 36th Ulster Division rightly and proudly remembered for what they did on that day, the 1st of July, 1916. Still, in British military history, the worst day's casualties ever suffered by British armed forces in any conflict anywhere in the world. Almost 50,000 casualties in one day, 20,000 of them dead. For the Ulster Division, over 5,000 casualties in one day, just over 2,000 of them dead. Well, was it said at the time that virtually every street and every home in Ulster had either a neighbour or a relative killed or seriously wounded. And we still see it and remember it around our cenotaphs today because so many of the names recorded there carry the date beside it, 1916. The Battle of the Somme dragged on for several months. It ended on the 18th of November, 1916, that date coming up later this week. So Psalm 100 is rightly remembered, and it has been actively remembered this year because it means so much to the collective history, to the national history here in our province. That's what I mean by active remembrance. It's something more than a casual or passing memory. It's active remembrance. It's active. It's deliberate. It's conscious. It's meaningful. It's for a good cause or a good reason or a good person. It's a case of necessity. It's someone of note or of worth or something or some event of note or of worth. And we actively, consciously set ourselves to remember it. And it's active too, not just because we consciously and deliberately set ourselves to remember it, but it's active too because it's a personal commitment on our part to remember it. We consciously and deliberately seek to remember it time after time, year after year. And it's active too because we think back, we learn from, and we live for. We learn from and we live for. And in that way, our active remembrance draws past and present and future together. The past has shaped our present. We, in the present, will shape the future. And we want to carry forward and bequeath to the future a good and a godly legacy. So active remembrance, I think, is something that's important in the life of families. It's something that's important in the life of nations. But it's something that's important in the Christian life, for individual Christians and for the Church of God, that we have active remembrance. Personally, family, socially, historically, spiritually. We are charged in Scripture to remember our God, remember His Word, and remember His ways. And we are assured in Scripture that He remembers us. Hence the theme of our hymns and our prayers this Remembrance Day. Some thoughts to share with you this morning briefly. Examples of remembrance, active remembrance, or what should have been active remembrance, or what should be actively remembered. We start at the beginning in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden with our first parents. And they were created and given a beautiful garden, all provided for them. Everything that they could see and touch and taste and enjoy. And had intimate fellowship with the Lord day on day. We are told the Lord met with them and walked with them in the garden in the cool of the evening. An idyllic setting. But the Lord had warned them one thing solemnly and seriously. He had identified one tree. And they were warned that they were not to eat the fruit of that tree. It's in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. He said, of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat of that tree on that day, you will surely die. You will die spiritually. They were given a clear command to remember. It should have been indelibly etched in their minds. All that had been provided for them, but with this one clear command, a command that they were to remember and obey in the garden, they failed. The devil was there. He came. He twisted. He perverted the word of God. He played with the mind of Eve. Has God really said? So he sowed doubts, which started to erode the remembrance of the command of the Lord. And then, of course, he said, if you take, you will be as gods. He played to their vanity and their pride, and that has been the root of so much sin ever since. The pride, self-pride. It's not by mistake that sin is a big I in the middle of it, because it's our own selfish ways that are the root of sin and turn us away from our God. Our first parents sinned, and with sin came death, and we as a world have suffered that ever since. There was a command to remember, which sadly they didn't. And you and I are still born in sin and shapen in iniquity and tend to the wrong rather than the right, because sin is within us from the time we're conceived. There was a command to remember. And then there were the commandments to remember. And just by way of two simple examples this morning, in the way that they were given and in the content of the commandments, we're charged to remember. First of all, think of how they were given there at Mount Sinai, how the Lord descended onto the mountain with thick smoke and darkness and earthquake and trumpet sound, and then the Lord spoke. And the people had been warned to wash their clothes and cleanse themselves and not to touch the foot of the mountain because of its holiness. Because of the Lord's presence, only Moses could climb the mountain to meet the Lord and receive the commandments. What an awesome sight that was. That must have struck a memory. That must have set a remembrance in those people that was etched forever. So in the manner which the Lord delivered the commandments, he was stressing to his people, this is important, this is serious. You must hear and remember these commandments. That's why from youngest days in Sunday school, we still teach the children and encourage them to remember the commandments, because they remain the basic building blocks of life as the Lord has set down. And within those commandments, of course, one of them even explicitly uses the word, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God's day. God's place in our week, in our lives. Of course, we should remember our God every day and at all times because we need his help. But this is his special and abiding day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And whenever the commandments were re-given, in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, again, it was re-emphasized that they were to be remembered. They were to be remembered, and they were to be taught from one generation to the next generation so that the memory of them would not be lost. And in strict Jewish homes, they would even on occasions write out and parcel up little bits of the Torah, of the book of the law, and wear them around their brows as an external sign or memory aid, and as an example to their children. This is something important. This is something you must always remember. Not a casual memory, but an active, ongoing remembrance. Moving on quickly. Throughout the Word of God, we have a spiritual call to remember. So there was a command in the garden to remember. There are the 10 commandments to remember. There's a spiritual call to yield our lives to the Lord that is repeated in many ways through Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. But let me turn your attention for this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Young people, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Why? Because this is of something of value. This is of something important. This is of importance. This is of value. This is of the greatest meaning to your life, now and eternally. That you would give your lives to the Lord and find life in all its fullness. Not that he or we, in teaching you this way, would ever want to rob you of all the things that are available in your lives. Things that the Lord himself in his goodness has provided for all of our lives and for all of our benefits. But we are to yield our lives to him and remember him in the days of our youth. Remember him in the days of our youth. But none of us escapes, because if you were to read on through Ecclesiastes, you'll read on in verses 6 and 7 that those of older age groups are to remember the Lord as well while time is there, while the opportunity and the grace of the Lord remains. Turn and commit your life to the Lord. before the time is gone, before death comes. Because if death comes before belief in the Lord, then the Word of God is true and faithful and tells us honestly and bluntly, you will die in a lost condition and your soul will be lost forever in the depths of hell. And that is something that no one would want or want for anyone else. Ecclesiastes warns us about that, warns us to remember the spiritual call of our God to give our lives to Him when we're young, or if we haven't done it, to attend to the matter of the soul while we have the life and breath within us and ability within us to do it. And of course, in Psalm 103, which was our reading this morning, we see it mentioned there too. Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That's active remembrance. God's Word is telling us, forget not the Lord's benefits. The very breath you draw at this moment is a blessing of the Lord. The abilities, the talents, the skills, the ambitions, the hopes, the desires you have for life, young people or older people. All that we possess, all that we have, all that we have the potential to be. It's of the Lord's benefit. We are to forget not the source of our benefits. They are not of our own. They are of the Lord. We are to forget not His benefits. We read it there in verses 1 and 2. We read it also in verses 17 and 18 of Psalm 103. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. There is a spiritual as well as a material importance to God's provision. God provides for us in love and grace and mercy. He provides for us so well and so fully, materially and spiritually. And we are not to forget His benefits in the material sense, but we are equally and chiefly not to forget His benefits, His grace, His mercy, His offer of forgiveness of sins and life eternal. In His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to remember to obey His precepts, to accept His offer of salvation, and to remember His Word and to walk in His ways. Remember, the psalmist elsewhere says, your Word I have hid in my heart. In other words, I have hidden it deep. I bury it not to lose it, but I bury it deeply so that I will remember it the better. I have hidden it in my heart that I will not sin against you. So young people, and all of us, this Remembrance Sunday, we are to remember the benefits of our Lord that we enjoy day by day. Give Him thanks for them every morning and every evening. And throughout life, from beginning to end, we depend on Him. But spiritually, we have no other help. We have no other hope. We have no other way or person by which we might be saved, except that provided by the Lord. So there is a spiritual call that we are to remember. And remember, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Moving on quickly. There's a Christian duty to remember. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. The words are inscribed in our own communion table, front and center of the church there. This do is a command in remembrance of me. A command to His people to remember His death and His resurrection, the means and the way and the only way of our salvation, not to be treated casually, not to be in our memories now and again, but something active, something deliberate, something meaningful, something personal. This is active remembrance, active remembrance. We're to do it in remembrance of Him. We read that in 1 Corinthians, the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26. They're read each month as we observe our communion. That is a Christian duty. We're to do it in remembrance of Him. We're not to forget His death on the cross and His rising again. We're to thank Him for the salvation of our own souls and to pray that that grace will work in the lives of others too. There's a Christian duty of remembrance. The very act of communion is a Christian duty of active remembrance. And then there is a change that's needed within. to help us remember and to help us reflect all the better the love and the grace of our Lord. We've talked about that command in the garden that was to be remembered. We've talked about the commandments that were to be remembered. We've talked about the call of God on our lives, which is to be remembered, and the provision of God in our lives, materially and spiritually. And we've talked about this Christian duty of communion. As Christians, we're to remember our Lord and live for Him. But it needs a change of heart. It needs a change of heart. And that's why I read that other portion this morning in the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8 and verses 8 to 12. Because whenever we read there, we read about the Lord talking about a new covenant. Nothing wrong with the first covenant. The people didn't keep it. You read those verses carefully, it says, the Lord found fault with the people, not His covenant. Because everything that God does is always right and perfect. The Lord found fault with the people. They couldn't keep the covenant. It was beyond them. We can't keep the law. It's beyond us. We'll never save ourselves by being good. It's too much for us. We simply cannot do it. But the Lord in His mercy provided a new and a better covenant and a new and a living hope in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the title, the overarching title for the whole book of the Hebrews is that Christ is better. It was written to Christian Jews to encourage them to remember that their new faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was something greater and better and more life-changing and lasting than anything they had ever enjoyed under the old sacrificial ways of their old faith. This is the new covenant that you and I enjoy. And what's the difference? Why is it remembered better? Because God said that He would write it on the hearts of His people. It would be internalized. And from our days at school, even in the old-fashioned ways that many of us went through of rote learning, why did we rote learn? Why did we rhyme off our tables? 4 1s are 4, 4 2s are 8, 4. And I can still do all that. As well as many of you. Why? Rote learning makes us internalize stuff. It gets it into the mind so that we better remember. The Lord was writing His covenant on our hearts. It was a change of life on the inside that would then be reflected by Christian living on the outside, working within and then working without. His laws were going to be in our hearts. They would be internalized through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the working of His blood and His Spirit in our lives. Bringing that change of heart when we become a Christian that we then live out. We must first become a Christian, but then we have to be a Christian and live it out with the power of God. And that means active remembrance of what the Lord has done for us or will do for us when we confess before Him our sins and repent and ask Him to come into our hearts and change our lives. So it's better remembered and it's better known. You can read those words there in Hebrews 8, 8 to 12. His law would be better remembered. His law would be better known. It would be willingly lived out because our hearts had been changed. And out of love and gratitude, we would live it out in our lives. Our sins would be forgiven and wonderfully forgotten. The Lord says, their sins I will remember no more. The all-knowing one says Himself, our sins He will remember no more if we put our trust and our faith in Him. It's all about an intimate relationship with the Lord in Christ. In Christ. Not through the keeping of the law, not through good works or anything on our own part, but trusting in Christ. That's what that portion in the Hebrews is about. The new covenant is in the Lord Jesus Christ, His death and His rising again, the forgiveness of our sins, remembered against us by our God no more. But we remember the more in our hearts, His word, His ways, His laws, His saving grace, and then we live it out the better in our lives. It's not a momentary ritual. God doesn't want moments of ritual, and then off we go and tear away and live some other old way, any old way we choose. God doesn't want moments of ritual. He wants a difference to be made in our lives that works all the days, every way, in all parts of our lives. Because the Lord is in our hearts. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember the Lord was there, and Moses and Elijah appeared with them, and they were illumined, as it were. And three of the disciples had been specially chosen to be along, Peter, James, and John. And when it was over, they were awestruck. They were overwhelmed by what they had witnessed, quite rightly, the Lord being transfigured in front of them. And Peter, as usual, speaks up, and Peter says, "Let's build three booths, let's build three pillars, let's build three monuments to remember you, Lord, and Moses and Elijah, and it'll be a great place to have a monument." And the Lord forbid him. That's not what it was about. The Lord doesn't want dead monuments. The Lord wants living witnesses. Their commission was to be the Great Commission, to go into all the world and spread the gospel, preach the word and live it out. That's still our commission. So yes, active remembrance can mean monuments. And active remembrance can mean moments that are specially set aside and specially marked, and we've done it rightly and properly again this morning, and we do it every time, you could say, at the communion service. But a true act of remembrance isn't just a static moment or a static monument. It's a living life. Day by day by day, we are actively remembering the benefits of the Lord. We are actively remembering His grace to us and saving us. And so willingly and lovingly, we want to live it out in our lives to the glory of God and to the benefit of others around us. That's what active remembrance is about. It's a principle of personality. Just read this in one of my little Bible readings earlier this week. It is a principle of our personality that we tend to reflect whatever is occupying our minds the most. It's a principle of our personality that we tend to reflect whatever's occupying our minds the most. Isn't that true? If our minds are preoccupied by worries, it shows out on us. If we're in a happier time, it shows out on us. If we got obsessed by someone or something, it takes over our lives, and that's the only thing we think about and work towards. We're totally obsessed by it. We're infatuated by it. Now, that can be negative. But for the Christian, that can be positive. Because if the Lord has that right place in our lives, and if we actively remember Him, then we love Him and we're infatuated by Him. And we want to show that out in our lives day by day. So yes, every one of us, myself included, and I know it and I feel it and we all do, there are times when our minds are preoccupied by many other things and many other ones, and not always for our good. That's why we're told by the psalmist to praise the Lord and forget not His benefits. That's why the Lord Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." We must seek, in the middle of all that life may throw at us and occupy our minds, we must look to occupy our minds with the Lord Jesus and so reflect Him. Have an active remembrance of Him in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives day by day. See yourselves as God sees us, to come to conclusion. Psalm 103, focusing on it to finish up. We want to see ourselves as God sees us, because if we have a better knowledge of God and how He sees us, then actually we'll be more aware of ourselves and how we ought to be. Say that again. If we've got an active remembrance of God and how He wants to see us, then we'll have a better awareness of ourselves and how we ought to be. Psalm 103 in verses 14 to 16 reminds us of how frail and how final is our lot without God. We're to remember that we're dust. We're frail. We're weak. We're sinners. We deserve judgment. And we will surely die without hope. Psalm 103, verses 14, 15, and 16. That's the somber and genuine lot of the human left to himself. Frail, weak, dust, no hope, no sins forgiven, deserving judgment. So we remember that. And if we actively remember that, then that maybe stops us in our tracks. That maybe gives us a wee bit of a more serious and a more sensible view of ourselves. And then we can remember again, because the psalm doesn't stop there. Remember again, Psalm 103, verses 3 to 5, verses 8 to 12, and verses 17 and 18. Read the psalm again. The contrast to that hopelessness, to that frailty, and to that final sad end is to be forgiven and to be faithful in Christ. Because this psalm tells us that God remembers us, that He acts not as we deserve, but He acts in love and mercy. He has done by sending His Son into the world. and Christ has come and died and risen again for our salvation. God acts in love and mercy. God provides for us in Christ. Our sins are forgiven and they're forgotten. They're remembered no more. And we are remembered in heaven. The Lord himself prays for his people in heaven. That's the wonderful contrast. That's wonderfully what can be ours. Not a frail and a final sad end, but a wonderful sense of forgiveness and being faithful to and in the Lord. So, let our minds, which includes our memory and our remembrance, let our minds and our hearts and our lives show out an active remembrance to our God.